Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. And I was just sitting there and I think, and I don't know if we've done it enough, we need to thank God for air conditioning. It's been hot, I'm going to tell you. Somebody told me there's somewhere hotter than that. Yeah. Oh, and I do remember that years ago when I used to go to church and it didn't have air conditioning. And I probably told you, I'd sit next to my grandmother Hughes when I was in church with her, and there was funeral home fans. And I just as close to her as I could get so I could get that air. Anyway, good to see you this morning. Let's look at some announcements real quick. Ladies' luncheon tomorrow morning at Delma's Cafe in Lottsburg. Arrive by 11:30. Any questions? Talk to Bootsy. Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday evening at 7 o'clock here at church. Deacons of WA meetings Tuesday the 8th of July at 7. And church business meeting Wednesday, July 9th at 7. And then men's prayer breakfast Saturday the 19th at 8 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Ready. Any other announcements? Anything missed? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege, this honor, to be here in your presence this morning, to thank you for who you are, the one and only great living God who's given us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And help us to think about that this morning and to think about who is our first love, and that we can say the Lord Jesus Christ is a love of our life, our individual lives, and the life of the church. And we pray that we exemplify that love this morning as we go through this worship service. For this we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Already, we got no choir this morning, Billy.
Okay, our first song this morning is 179, Awesome God. We'll sing it through a couple times. Stand as we sing.
Thank you. Good morning, folks. I think I'm in the same boat I was last week when I said, let the children come. We need to get some children. I see Warren all set. Do we have some? Oh, we have JoJo. I didn't see JoJo sneak in. Come on down, JoJo. JoJo. All right, JoJo can be, JoJo, you can be shy if you want, or you can come down here with Miss Michelle and I. You know us. You know us. Come on down, buddy. Oh, what'd you bring? Legos. I love Legos. That is way cool. Well, have a seat so I can talk. Why don't you sit over here next to Miss Michelle? She's your friend. She's your friend. You've been doing okay? So I was also going to talk to the Jones boys because I figured they can relate to this story a little more. And they'll be sitting through the pastor's sermon this morning. And I like to piggyback on that. So today I was going to talk about that sometimes God wants us to remember that it's all about Him. All right? Sometimes God gets a little jealous. Believe it or not, He says, I am the only one to be idolized, adored, and praised. And we need to remember that sometimes. And sometimes we get caught up in our world, JoJo, and we forget it's all about God. And we should go back to what He says is our first love, and that is God. Have that excitement we have. So the point that you possibly could relate to, and I know they can relate to, I was going to say it's sort of like Toy Story. All right, you got Andy, and he's got his little cowboy friend Woody. And then what happens in Toy Story 2? You're a little young for that, but I know the guys know. Suddenly Buzz Lightyear comes along, and Andy quits playing with Woody. And he, poor Woody, feels left out, and he says, remember me? I'm your buddy. And that's sort of what's going on here. Sometimes we quickly move on to the next thing in life, or we suddenly start forgetting about our first love. And in this case, our first love is not the church, but we get caught up in that. Our first love really should be Christ, and we should be doing things for Him and because it's right. And it's sort of like Andy and Woody and Buzz Lightyear. They can all get along and they can love each other. So remember as we go forward that we need to keep our eyes set on the Lord, not just everybody else and not just going through the actions, but keep our eyes on the Lord. Let me have a little prayer and then you and Michelle can go back in color and have fun time, okay? Sound good? All right, let's say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're in your church, but remember this is just a church. It's all about you. Wherever we go, you are with us. You are in our heart, you are in our mind, and help us remember that. Help us remember that no matter what, you come first in this world and will always be our true love. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. JoJo, it's so good to see you, buddy. I'm glad you're doing well. I don't know where the other kids are today. That's a good question. It's vacation year. They're probably there. All right, so someone once told me, and this was when I was taking classes in college in communications. I used to do radio and stuff like that. They say you'll do a lot better if you commit everything to memory, and therefore you're not wandering and rambling when you talk and looking at your notes. But I've discovered at this age I forget all the people we need to give thanks and praise for and think of prayer. So excuse me while I look at my list to see who we need to remember in prayers. Trudy and Doug are doing well. I spoke to them yesterday. She said her leg is all black and blue from the surgery, but she's feeling great and walking better than she has in the last few years. And Doug is doing well. He's not cleaning the gutters yet, but he's doing okay in this heat and stuff. I talked to May Schools yesterday through text, and she said she's doing better and taking some cancer meds. And Jackie and Wanda went to visit them, and excuse me. I'm sorry, Dwight. I'm looking right at him. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Like I said, if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget, Dwight. So Dwight went and he said that she's actually walking around the house and doing some cooking again. It's still not going to change things, but she's doing better, and praises to God for that. Did stop by the McDermott's house this week. They weren't home, so I called them and talked to They were out running errands. Ann said Joe is doing much better, slowly gaining a little bit more as far as mobility each day. So that's a blessed thing. Joe, where's Joe Gibbs? There he is in the back standing up because his back still hurts. His eye's doing better, so it's good to see you're here. You don't have the Pirates patch on anymore. Arg, I'm glad you're doing better. And one last thing, people have been asking about my daughter Jordan. She is home from the hospital and doing well as she gets adapted to her new life. Mentally, she's not quite there. 34-year-old, going to be down and out for the summer, so she's not too thrilled about that. So please continue to lift her up in prayer for healing, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. And Shelley's doing well handling that. So good to see you in the house this morning, sir. It's so good to see you. Anybody else have any prayers, concerns, praises?
I have one thing. Melissa Fritz's father is having a memorial service today.
Okay. Well, evidently he has passed. I'm sorry to hear that, too. Okay. Well, I am sorry to hear that. I did get to spend some time with Gay and Reuben earlier this week, but they didn't mention that, so... So I'm sorry. Anything else? How about praise that the heat is finally abating? That's a big thing. Maybe some rain? I hope so. Thank you all. Have a blessed day.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here. And we thank you for the opportunity that we can talk to you. And to also remember that as we talk, we also need to listen to what you have to say and to follow your directions and to be a good representative for your son out in the world and to take the message of the gospel to all that we meet and to live in a fashion and style that people will see Jesus in us and will question about what it is that makes us the way we are. And we thank you for all the many great, wonderful things that you do each day. And we thank you that you will continue to do those things and will keep us and hold us till the day that we go into glory with you. And we pray for those that are undergoing surgeries, recovering from surgeries. We pray your healing hand upon them. Give them the strength that they need. We pray for those that are struggling with disease and with cancer. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them, bring comfort and ease to their lives. And we pray for those that have recently lost loved ones, those that need your tender, loving care and to help them through the difficult times of life. And we pray, Father, that we remember what you've done for us in your Son and to remember that you did it because you loved us. And that no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his friends. And we know that's what Jesus did for us. And help us to remember that we need to return that love with our lives, the way we live, the things that we do, and how we witness. And to make him the first love of our lives, the first love of our church. And we pray all this in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
While you're being seated, the Good Humor Man came by today when I was working. And he didn't have any music playing, but he sure had a nice box of ice cream. I appreciate that.
We are gathered here today to praise and worship the Lord. He knows our every need. All we have to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. For those who are missing, continuously this week, to pray for them. For the ones on vacation or traveling home, we pray that they will have safe passage. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for what you have done for us. You are the creator and sustainer of all life. We can look to you no matter what the situation is, because you're standing right beside us. You will answer. Guard us, and your grace is sufficient in everything that we face in this world. Now, as we come to a portion of this service, and we return to you just a portion of what you have so blessed us with, we ask you to bless the gift and the giver, and may be used for the advancement of thy kingdom. For it's in Christ's precious name, pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm like a friend of mine who was in the seminary. He said when it got up, if church was ready to sing a solo, if they're ready to empty out the church and even the mice. Three boys. They're in the schoolyard bragging about their fathers. The first boy says, "My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a poem, and they give him $50. Second boy says, "That's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, and he calls it a song. They give him $100. Third boy says, "I got you all beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a sermon, and it takes eight men to collect all the money." One of my previous churches came in one Sunday morning, and the first thing some of the members noticed was the flag and the flag stands were missing. You know, they would notice things when they're missing. You know, they'd notice if the cleaning lady hadn't been, if there was something in the floor or whatever, or if something was missing. They would, boy, that's the first thing. The reason the flag stands was missing was, if they'd have kept up with things, the association had a big anniversary, a big celebration. And one of the bigger churches, and they asked each church to give their flags and flag stands to them, and they lined the sanctuary with all the flags from all the different churches in the association. Now, Jesus told the church at Ephesus, something is missing. It wasn't the furnishings. And this is something that is missing from many churches today. It may be missing here. Or it may be very well missing from your own life. So let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, at Jesus' message to the church in Ephesus. Something is missing. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which they say are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this house, this hast thou, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. First, this is a message for the church. And first, to the messenger of the church. Who is the messenger of the church? He's the pastor. He's the overseer. He is the one, the minister, who Jesus holds responsible for the church and its welfare. Just like the captain of a ship. And I know I don't take this job, this duty lightly. I haven't for over 40-some years, because I realize what my responsibilities are to a church. First and foremost, always, is the spiritual aspect and the preaching of God's word. And to be true and faithful to it. Not my ideas, not man's ideas, but what God says in his word and what I feel as the Holy Spirit guides me. Christ expects the minister to study his word and to lead the church to heed his messages. Every Sunday morning before I leave the house and I sit down, I go over my outline for my message, and then I pray. And one of the things always in my prayer is that the people will get the message, that they will respond to the message. It will touch them. Then it's to the church at Ephesus. The church is in the midst of the seven churches. The message is to all believers and to all churches at all times. Though it was given to Ephesus then, it's to us today. Ephesus was a great seaport. It was a gateway to Asia. It was a wealthy city. It was a center for pagan superstitions also. The Temple of Diana was there. But the church grew to 50,000 members. Paul spent 2 years there with them. So they, you know, in the beginning, there were mega churches in the beginning. 50,000 members, that's a mega church. And the speaker, who's the speaker here? It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that holds the ministers of the church in his hands. He appointed them. I can tell you without a doubt, I'm still at it. I can tell you without reservation that God called me into the ministry. And I've never looked back. I'm responsible to him. Ministers are responsible. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of ministers out there and a lot of churches that they don't realize that. And what they're doing, they're going to pay a dear price. Jesus is the one who walks in the midst of the churches. He is present. Now, he commends the church. He has some good things to say about them. For their works, they had labored hard. They even at times worked to the point of exhaustion. And they had been fruitful. They were fervent in their preaching and in their teaching of God's word. For their persistence, they preserved and were steadfast in their service. They endured under trials and temptations. They were steadfast in studying and proclaiming the gospel, ministering to the needs of the needy. For their sanctification, they were set apart. They were separated from the world. You know, we're in it, but not of it. They were not tolerant of evil. They would not compromise. You know, there's so much I see, so much in churches today that they're compromising with society and with the world. They wouldn't accept false teachers. They tested the spirits. That's what we need to do. I've had people come to me and talk to me about how does this happen? And I say, you need to discern the spirits. You need to test it. You need to learn. One of the ways is study this. And when this starts saying stuff contrary to this, there's a red light right there. There's a warning. They were, for their patience, they were patient. They bore under all for Christ's sake. And they were loyal and devoted to Christ's cause. But now, he has a condemnation. He has a complaint. They had left their first love. They had lost their feelings for Christ. He was no longer their first priority. In the believer's life, Jesus is to be the first priority, the first love above everything. Amen. Family, friends, whatever it may be, he is to be our first priority in our individual lives and in the church life. They were putting themselves in their own affairs first. They had turned inward. Church activities were more important. Programs, services, ministries, and fellowship above Christ. Just plain busyness. How many of some of these big churches out there today, just plain busy. But they've lost that first love. Not having personal fellowship with Jesus. Not walking with him. Not sharing him with others. That is our top priority as a believer, is we go out into the world, that we share Jesus with family, friends, wherever we go, whatever we meet. And we need to be responding in a way. You know, I always don't know what it is. I guess it's maybe the aura around me. But when I go places, I walk through the grocery store. I walk through Walmart or any place or in a mall or wherever it may be, out on the street. Somehow people smile back at me. I've had people come and call me sir. I don't demand it, but it seems like I get respect. But it's because my attitude, and it's because Jesus is that first love. You know, the greatest thing that has ever happened to me when I've had this happen a number of times, when I've had somebody walk up to me and say, I can tell you love Jesus. People need to know that we love him. That's the greatest compliment I've ever received. What's happened is, it's like a marriage with the love gone out of it. Just going through the motions. They had lost their love for lost people. Our hearts should be burning, have a desire to want to save those lost people, to have a heart and feeling for knowing what they're going to go to if they don't find Jesus. And many will not find Jesus without us telling them. What had happened to this church in Ephesus? The joy of their salvation was gone. When enthusiasm is gone, it becomes mechanical and routine. Just Jesus gives now some wise counsel. Remember, turn back. Why are you a Christian? Think back to the point when you were lost and what it felt like when Jesus came into your life. Think about that joy. Think about that excitement. You know, when I've been called to previous churches for homecomings, and to be the guest speaker. You know, when I preach my sermon, my favorite sermon is Back to Bethel. Jacob, remember Jacob, had his experience. at Bethel. That's when he wrestled with the angel. That's when God called him Israel. He went back to Bethel to renew that, to refresh that. That's what we need to do, is to go back to Bethel. Take some spiritual inventory. You need a sincere desire to want to regain that relationship with him that you once had, if you've lost it. He says, repent. Turn around. Go back. Get away from whatever it is that's pulling you away from him. Turn from your coldness and your indifference. Confess your sins and shortcomings. Seek forgiveness. Then he says, do. Do your first works. A love for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a love for the lost. It's a test of how you have your love for him. Voltaire tipped his hat to the Pope, recognized God, but not speak to him. God had no influence over him. He was not committed. Many today recognize Christ but are not committed to him either. I probably told you this at one time or another, but I'll tell you again. Billy Graham, at a crusade, after it was over one evening, going back to the hotel where he was staying, got into the elevator, and there in the elevator with him and some of his people was a guy standing there with a cocktail in his hand. And he probably had two or three sheets in the wind. And he says, hey, I know you. I remember you. You're Billy Graham. You saved me in a crusade. And Billy said, I evidently must have, but it looks like Jesus didn't have anything to do with it. Put these things back in your life if they're missing. Devotions. Prayer life. We need to pray every day. Pray more than once. Bible study. Study your Bible at home. Sunday school is available. Wednesday nights are available. Every opportunity that is offered here, you need to be here to try to learn all what you can. We need to be an obedient service to him. And first and foremost, what we're doing this morning, we're worshiping him. And Jesus says, or else, a warning from Christ. He will remove the candlestick. That is his light here in the church. He will disown the church. There was a minister some years ago, he was a minister of a church in Norfolk. And the church, Bethel Church out in Chesapeake, which was old Norfolk County then, he would go out. They couldn't afford, and they were just coming along as a country church. It was real country out there then. And he would go out and preach early morning service there, and then he would go back to Norfolk. That church, of all things, gave him a hard time. Finally, he'd had enough. One day he resigned from them, told them this. He says, you need to close the doors of this church, you need to put two wreaths on the doors, and you need to write across it, Ichabod. Now, if you go to the Old Testament, you know what Ichabod means? The Spirit of the Lord has departed this place. Many churches today are dark. The candlestick is gone. I can guarantee you all of these that have gone the way of this LGBTQ mess and same-sex marriage and all, I guarantee you the candlestick is gone. Christ has removed himself from them. And it's evident he's not their first love for what the way the carryings on they're going. Their lust and the things that they're getting into is their first love. And also Jesus is saying here, doctrinal purity is just not enough. They hated the Nicolaitans, but which was false doctrines and stuff going on in that day. That's still not enough. They need to put Jesus first in all that they do, in their own personal lives and in the lives of the church. Here's a challenge now. He said, here, listen up. As my mother used to say, get the wax out of your ears. There's a lot of things I can remember my mother used to teach me. Those without the spiritual ears are lost. They're not hearing. Dull hearing is dangerous. Today I wear hearing aids. But when my wife was living, I didn't. Now part of that, you know, is vanity. Some of you know what I'm talking about. She was after me from time to time, even got me tested one day and said I needed hearing aids. And I kept putting it off, but after she died, I got them. But she was always worried that I would be out there driving along someday and I wouldn't hear that siren of the fire truck or the ambulance or the police car and I might get in a collision. She was concerned about that. So I did something about it eventually. When I get to heaven, I'll tell her. Also, some of you don't take this personal, but the church is full of bald-headed Christians. You know what that is? That's the friction of the preacher's words hitting the person's skull and bouncing off and hitting the person in the pew behind them. There was this man that had been coming to this church for years. It was a little church in a town. And it was a cold, rainy day. There was a faithful few in the choir. And there was just a couple people out there in the thing. And when the preacher gave the invitation, this one fellow, he came forward. And he'd been coming for many years, but he never responded before. And the minister asked him, he said, why today, of all the years you've been coming, did you finally respond to God's word? He said, well, I turned around and looked, and there was nobody behind me, so I guessed you were speaking to me. Those who are of good hearing are spiritually minded. And he says there is a reward to the overcomers, to the victors, to the faithful, allowed to eat of the tree of life, eternal life, in the midst of paradise, heaven. Is there something missing from this church? I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to let you think about that. You decide, and if something is missing, what will you do to get it back? Second, is there something missing from your own personal life? Is the love of Christ in there? If not, what will you do to get it back? Or here's another question, has it ever been there? Is he truly your Lord and Savior? Has he truly been your first love? Mahatma Gandhi almost became a Christian. He lived with a Christian family while going to school in London, and he attended church with them. And then he saw the casual attitude of members. He went to a Christian church in East Africa for 9 months. And he saw a lack of willingness to sacrifice in the members. So he turned from Christianity. Something was missing from those churches. Christianity is not a religion. That's called a religion by the world. But Christianity is a love affair. It's a love affair with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our first love. He gave himself for us. He has the right to demand to be our first love because of what he did for us. Do you need to make a decision today? And you do, you need to make it on love. Because he forgave you and gives you eternal life. We need to serve him. That's part of our commitment we make to him, to accept him as our Lord and Savior, but to be obedient and to serve him also. That's part of it. And we want to do that because we love him. We show our love back. Because he wants us also to love others. Now, I did it this morning. One of the things I said when I was praying to the Lord, I said, Lord, I love you. But I don't say it enough. It's just like my wife for a little over 50 years. I didn't say to her, I love you enough. But to her, in many ways in my actions, I expressed that love for her. And it's the same way with Jesus. In my actions and the things that I do, I express my love for him. That's been my life for 40-some years in the ministry. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you know, if you hadn't already, you do know that Jesus is my first love. That's why I'm here. And that's why I'm your pastor. Do you know him today? Or do you need to make a recommitment today or something? Whatever it is, let's do it to his glory and honor and in love. Pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this message to the church at Ephesus. And we pray we've learned a lesson from it, that realize that you are our first love in our individual lives and in the life of this church. And that the candlestick will always be here. The light will always show forth out into the world. That when we leave here today, we go out into the world. We can be beyond the walls of this structure. And we pray if there's anyone here today that has not for certainty known Jesus as their first love, would do so today. For this we all do in his holy and precious name. Amen. 480, only trust him. That you received a message from the Lord today. And his church, we got six more churches to do, okay? So, and there's a message in each one of them for us. And so, you want to go look there and you can read up on them, get ahead and see what's coming, okay? Hope you have a good day today. Stay cool. I tell you, it's been hot this past week. I tell you, it's a little relief Friday, and I got some lawn cutting to do in Matthews. I got that done. But anyway, Friday is July 4th. So anyway, what do they say about hot as a firecracker on July 4th? All right. Hope you have a good week. Let's see. I'm going to go to this door over here today. I'm due over there today, and I'll do the benediction from there. And those who want to go that way, I will see you.